Christian greetings to all of you this evening. I count it a privilege to be here, and I appreciate the service thus far. I appreciate the selection of songs, the devotional, the message that Brother Lyle just gave. I am so glad that we have the Bible. I was impressed with those thoughts again. We have the Bible. And if we had to depend on these meetings, if this service tonight had to depend on what men have to say, it wouldn't be worth a whole lot. In fact, we might as well go out and get some ice cream and watch some young people play volleyball, you know, if we wouldn't have the Bible. But we have the Bible, and so it makes it worthwhile being here. And I appreciate that. I was sitting up here, and I was impressed with the amount of people that are here on a Thursday evening. I really didn't know what to expect. But I'm impressed that we are here tonight. And I know there probably are different reasons why we might all be here, but I believe that basically we probably all came because we want to hear from God. And Jesus said one time, he said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled." And I trust that will be our experience this weekend. Also, as I sat here, I realize there's quite a few people here that I would know who you are, and then there's quite a few who I don't know. But I believe that we come from many backgrounds, many communities, many congregations. And there's a lot of differences within that. And I was thinking, I think I maybe see people here from north of the border, out of Canada, if my eyes are right, brother, Canadians. I know there's people here from Arizona, and so from all over. And all these different backgrounds. But friends, tonight, one thing that we have in common, every one of us tonight can say this, that we all need more of God in our lives. And that's why we're here. And so we find ourselves on common ground. Well, to lead you into the message tonight, I'm going to ask several questions that, in a sense, they have nothing to do with the message, but I know where I'm going. You don't know where I'm going necessarily. And so to draw you into it, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been to a dentist? This is not a trick. I don't ask trick questions. If you've been to a dentist, would you raise your hand? Oh, yeah, even the ones up here. Lots and lots. Most of us have been to a dentist. Now, another question. How many of you enjoy going to a dentist? I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of this group of people. Most of us don't enjoy going to a dentist. I have been to a dentist. I don't enjoy it. And I want to be careful tonight because there may be a dentist here tonight. I don't know that. There may be a lady that works for the dentist. I don't know that. And I believe that is a noble work. It's a noble occupation. People open their mouths and you get all that, you know, breath. It just wouldn't be what I want to do. But it's a noble work. I'm glad for them. I don't like going to the dentist. And my flesh recoils a bit because I don't like it. And recently, I think this week, my wife went to the dentist, and I said, "Honey, you cancel my next appointment. I don't want to go." And she did. She canceled it for me. You know, painful things happen in the dentist chair. The moment I walk into the room, I can just, I know I've had it. You know, I'm in for it. My blood pressure goes up. I start getting tense. And I had this recent experience in the dentist's office, sitting in the chair, all right? And so your mouth was open, and they want you to open it wide open. And one time I didn't open it as wide as they did liked, and they take something like a bottle jack in there, and they jack that thing up until it's so wide open. I'm like, okay, I learned my lesson. I won't do that again. But, you know, bad things happen. And so recently I was in there, and the water is spraying, and the drill is zinging around, and saliva is gathering in my mouth, and I don't know what to do with it, and I feel like I'm going to can't breathe, and I can't swallow. And the assistant says, "Delmer, relax. Just relax." I think, really? I mean, relax. Well, it goes on and on, and, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm gripping the side of the chair. My heart is pounding. My palms are sweating, and I can't say anything. And the assistant says, breathe through your nose. And I think, breathe through my nose. Bottom line, though, is I want good teeth. And I need that dentist chair so that I have good teeth. I invite you to open your Bibles tonight to Jeremiah chapter 18. As was mentioned in the title of the message, it was assigned to me, Clay in the Potter's Hand. Jeremiah chapter 18. Starting to read at verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in the mine hand, O house of Israel. Jeremiah the prophet, he had a very unique, personal, down-to-earth experience with God. God said this, and allow me to just to put this in my words this evening. God said, Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And I'm not sure what down meant. Was it going south, or was it down the hill into town? I don't know, but he mentioned that a couple times ago, down to the potter's house. And God said, I'll meet you there. Well, Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house. Sure enough, the potter was working in his house, in his place of business, and he had a lump of clay, and he had put it on the wheel, and that wheel was spinning around, and his hands were forming that clay into some useful vessel of some kind. And as Jeremiah watched, the potter stops the wheel. He looks at the clay, whether it was a bowl or a jar, whatever it was, and there was something about it he didn't like. It was marred, the writer says. It was marred. It wasn't good. It wasn't right. It wasn't what it's supposed to be. And so you know what he did? He crushed it. Can you believe that? He crushed it. Just took it and put it back in the lump. Imagine that. He could have, I was thinking about this afternoon, he could have said, well, you know what? That would be good enough for a second, right? It could have been a second. And we'll put it on the discount shelf because the Mennonites love discounts. And so they'll buy it up. We can just make a second out of it. But no, he crushed it. And then he put it back on the wheel and he spun that wheel around again and he formed that. And this time it came out right. It came out good. It was a good vessel. It was something that people could use, they could sell. It was a number one. Jeremiah saw all this in the potter's house. And then God spoke to Jeremiah. Verses 5 and 6, he spoke to Jeremiah. And as God speaks, I can feel, I can sense the heartbeat of God in what he said. God said this, O house of Israel. You see, this was about his people. And it shows the heart of God. He was burdened for his people. O house of Israel. But you see, his people were marred. They were rebellious. They were complacent. They were hard-hearted. Stiff-necked people. They were disobedient. They were idolaters. They were so much what God had never intended them to be. And God is crying, O house of Israel! And Jeremiah knew exactly what God was talking about. We have friends tonight. We are the house of Israel tonight. That's who we are. We're the house of Israel. This message from Jeremiah is for our house tonight. And I have to believe that God is still crying, "Oh, house of conservative Mennonite churches, will you come to the potter's house? Will you come? Will you come and submit yourself to the potter's wheel? Come with your blemishes. Come with your pride. Come with your rebellion, your selfishness." And God says, "Yes, what you saw will happen. I will crush the clay, but I will take it and make it again into a vessel that is good, for I, God, am the master potter." Tonight, I'd like to break this down into several different points. The first one is this. Why get on the potter's wheel? Why should we get on the potter's wheel? Let's think about that. If you would turn with me, I'm going to leave Jeremiah now and back up to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. Why should we get on there? Verse 6. "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." Why should we get on that potter's wheel, friends? We are all as an unclean thing, he says. Our righteousness, the works that we try to do without God, are like filthy rags. The best that we can do without God is filthy rags. That's the best we can do without God to mold us and to shape us, to cleanse our heart. Our sins have taken us away from God like the wind, he says. And nobody's even stirring to go find him. Friends, tonight we get on the potter's wheel because we all deal with the carnal flesh. And friends, we have a choice. We can choose to be clean. We choose to be not unclean. See, eternity is not by luck or by circumstances, but eternity is by choice. The potter's wheel is a choice. And the truth tonight, friends, is if we decide to take my own way, if Delmer decides to take his own way, I'm going to do my own thing and do what I want to do, you know what? I'm going to end up in sin and I'm going to end up in hell. And the truth is, even if we try to do righteous, even without God, try to do it on our own strength, outside of God, we can't do it. We are carnal, natured clay. And we need God the potter to mold us and to shape us. Will you go with me to Psalm 40? Some of my favorite verses in the Bible. Not probably the most favorite, but I really enjoy these verses. Psalm 40. We're thinking about why we should get on the potter's wheel. Verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Why should we get on the potter's wheel? Because we are clay, and we may have chosen to become a part of the miry clay. The miry clay. David said, "He's brought me up out of that stuff, See, that's the devil's territory. That's the muck. That's the unrighteousness. That's Satan's prison. It's darkness. It's bondage. It's failure. And so he brings us out of the miry clay, and he puts us on his potter's wheel, and as he spins that wheel, he takes out the mire out of the clay and can make us into a vessel that he can use. Why should we get on the potter's wheel? I thought about this. I thought I might use an illustration. Let's say you see this black platform out in front of me, and you see this black platform back here. Let's say that this black is Christianity. Within that is Christian. And I don't want to speak wrong theologically here, but I trust that you can go with me through this. Let's say that inside on this platform, this is Christianity. That's where the Christians are. Now let's say that we take this chair and we put it in the center of this whole thing. Now this, we could say, is the center of Christianity. This is where we want to be. This is where God wants us to strive to be. Now we know on this earth we'll never be perfect, but Paul said, I press for the mark. And so we press for the center. That's where God wants us. And I don't know where you all are tonight. I believe in progressive sanctification. I understand tonight we're not all at the same place spiritually. I had a man call me yesterday. He's maybe 50 years old, I don't know. And he has been an ungodly man in his life, but he now professes to be a Christian. Now, as far as I know, he still smokes. And as far as I know, the tattoos are still all over his body. But this man is on a journey to God. I believe he is. But maybe there's people here tonight that, there's probably people here tonight that are close to this, like they're pressing for the mark and they press and press and they're really close. But there's maybe people here tonight that are somewhere out here on the fringes, or maybe somebody way out in the corner. I don't know. You know tonight where you are with God. Are you on this platform or have you? You see, direction is important, friends. And this friend that called me that is on the journey to God, I think God gives grace to people that are heading for the chair. They're heading for the center. But when we're heading the opposite way, that's a big problem. That puts us outside of the grace of God. And so I don't know where you all would fit on this platform tonight. But the question is, how are we going to get from here to there? Or if I'm somewhere way back in the corner, how am I going to get there? My friends, tonight, God is offering you a place on the potter's wheel. Out of the miry clay, off of the fringes, to come to the center, out of complacency, out of rebellion, out of selfishness. And that's why we get on the potter's wheel. My second point, what it does, in other words, what does the potter's wheel do? Now I'd like for us to go through the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 12. What it does. Hebrews chapter 12, one verse, verse 11. Now no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Let's go back to the dentist's office. Is going to the dentist fun? Not for me, it's not. Is getting on the potter's wheel fun? No, it's not. Is getting on the potter's wheel the right thing to do? Absolutely it is. It purges out sins of our flesh and of our spirit. It disciplines us. It trains us. It molds us. It produces a new man and a new woman that has a heart that seeks after God, looks like a Christian, talks like a Christian, walks like a Christian, following Jesus. That's what the wheel does. Now, if you go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. In a great house, he says, in the church of Jesus Christ, that is a great house. And there are many vessels here tonight. I don't know. I didn't even try to count, but there might be 200 vessels here tonight. I don't know. Something like that. Thinking about vessels, I brought something with me. And those of you, you're pretty far away from me, but this is a little blue dish. Little blue dish. And about 57 years ago, this was a lump of clay. About 57 years ago, a little third grader took that lump of clay and he made this little dish. And I looked real closely at it, and I think I can see some fingerprints on it that are molded into this lump of clay. Well, this dish, this dish sits in my closet. And when I come home at night or come home from town, if I have change in my pocket, I reach in my pocket and put it to get it out, and I put it in this dish. This dish holds my change. And it's done that for 57 years. Well, I don't know that it's done it all those 57 years, but the last many years it has. For 57 years, this little dish has been a vessel of honor. It has never said to me, Delmer, I quit. I am done. I want something more exciting in life. It has never yelled at me, screamed at me. It has never jumped off the shelf. It has never thrown change in my face. Never done that. 57 years, 100% faithfulness. Maybe it's headed for the Hall of Fame somewhere, I don't know, of clay dishes. Going back to verse 20 and 21, in a great house. Yes, I said maybe there, he talks about in a great house, there's vessels of gold and silver, wood and earth. There's many vessels here tonight, some of them gold, some of them silver, some of them earth, some of them wood. And then he says some of those are to honor and some to dishonor. Friends tonight, you and I are vessels. And it would be wonderful if we could tonight say we're all vessels of honor. That when God sees where I'm at, he sees I am pressing for the center where he wants me to be. And he says, there is a vessel of honor. It's also possible that God looks down tonight through this wood ceiling with whatever's on top of it. And he sees right into our room here, into our hearts, and says, oh, there's a vessel of dishonor. That's also possible. I don't know. Tonight, if you are a vessel of honor, I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you. What a joy. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing for this prize, for the mark, for the center. Avoid the fringes, the edges. Keep going. And all the joy, the fulfillment, the privilege it is to serve God and to be a vessel of honor. However, friend, if you're here tonight and you're a vessel of dishonor, you have a great invitation to cleanse yourself from dishonor. Brothers and sisters, it's not about who is gold. It's not about who is silver or wood or a blue dish. It's about being a vessel of honor and prepared for the Master's use. Are we prepared? You know what, friends, tonight, if God needed a David tonight to fight a giant, and are there giants in the world today, could he look at you young men and say, here's a David. In fact, there's many Davids. Let's go get some more giants. If God needed an Abraham tonight, could he put his finger down in this congregation and say, here's a man that will compel his children to come after him? If God needed an Esther tonight to save her country, could he point to one of you young ladies and say, here's an Esther. Here's a vessel that is prepared to fight a battle, a spiritual, whatever it is. Are you a vessel God can use? That's what happens when we get on the potter's wheel. Number three, what does the potter require? Now, it said back there in Jeremiah 18, it said, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Jeremiah saw a lump of clay on the wheel. And remember, God's word says, we are the clay. So we are the clay. Tonight, people, we're the clay. So the question tonight is this. Am I on the potter's wheel? Are you on the potter's wheel? Or are you running from the potter's wheel? Are you avoiding the potter's wheel? Have you planted your feet somewhere outside where you don't see the potter's house? Tonight, will you say yes to God? Yes, God. I'll come into your house. Yes, God. I'll get on the potter's wheel. Yes, God. You can change my desires. Yes, God. You can purify my thoughts. Yes, God, change me. Make me what you want me to be. Are you there tonight, friends? If not, what does it take to get there? James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Submit yourselves to God. Our flesh says, no, no, no way. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get on the potter's wheel. I like myself the way I am. I like what I'm doing. I have a plan. No. That comes from Satan. That no business to God comes from Satan. Resist the devil, he says. Tonight, as you consider about getting on the potter's wheel, and I want you to answer in your heart tonight that question. You're going to hear two voices. The one voice is the devil. He's saying, don't be a fool. Don't do that. Your fun is over. Your life is going to be wasted. It's a silly thing to do. Just go have, do what you want to do. That's from the devil. The other voice is the voice of God. He says, come, come, come into the potter's house. Come, come just as you are. Come. I'll lovingly put you on the potter's wheel, and I will make you a vessel of honor. Friends, tonight, the potter's wheel, it requires a personal submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he requires. And I can stand up here tonight, I can preach, I can beg, I can plead, and you can go home and hear your preachers preach and beg and plead, and your Sunday school teachers teach, and you can read your Bible many, many times, but it comes down to this one thing. Will I personally submit my heart and my life? Will I allow God to do a work in my life? Tonight I'm going to share a bit of my life with you. I was asked to make this message practical. And the reason why I share my testimony is it's because it's the one I know best, and it's real and personal to me. And I please, please beg you, take it the right way. It is not to lift me up at all. I have nothing to glory in myself, but to glorify God. And so hopefully it can just encourage you. When I was a young man, 15, 16, 17 years old, we played a lot of backyard sports at our house, and Dad was okay with that. But I got into sports a lot deeper than that. I became a sports fan. I took it to a level I shouldn't have in participating in it. I became addicted to it. I carried that into our marriage, and I'm ashamed of that. And sports became a consuming part of my life. I lived it. I breathed it. I planned my life around sports, meetings, occasions, games. And as I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about this illustration, about this being Christianity, and that's where we want to be, that's where God wants us to be. Was I a Christian at that point in my life? I said I was. But was I? And then I had to ask myself this question. Had the trumpet sounded, would I have been ready? And I had to ask myself this question. If the trumpet sounded when I was listening to the Cleveland Indians ball game on the radio, was I ready? It took a long time. But finally, I submitted to the potter's wheel, and God lovingly, consistently, he smashed a lump of clay, and he started to form a new man. And I would say to you tonight, friends, sin will take you a lot longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you a lot more than you want to pay. And the longer you stay there, the harder it is to get back to that potter's wheel. The longer you stay away from the potter's house, the less you want to go there. Fast forward some time, many years. When I was 37 years old, our church had an ordination for a minister. So in my 30s, years prior to that, I had felt God calling me. And God never spoke to me in a voice, but I always just felt that someday I'll probably be ordained. But in those prior years, I was running from the calling. And I remember thinking, you know what? If I live somewhere outside on the edge, if I live right out on the edge, then I probably won't get voted for. I remember thinking that. But then I ran into the potter. And I got on the wheel. And slowly, God purged me and prepared me for that calling. 10 years later, I was again on the potter's wheel. God did a work in my heart, and we made a move from Holmes County, Ohio, to Traverse City, Kingsley, Michigan. It was against my flesh. It didn't make sense. I was making good money in Ohio. It did not make any sense. It didn't feel good. It hurt. I remember when I had a nice woodworking shop I had built right there at home, and I remember when I swept that floor for the last time, I was crying. Like I knew I'd never have a shop like that again. But again, God called me to the potter's wheel. Today, we are satisfied, content, and at home in Kingsley, and we love it. 7.5 years ago, on December the 3rd, 2017, our 25-year-old son, Tyler, was killed at home in a God-ordained event. It was one of the most difficult experiences of our life. Again, God called me to the potter's wheel. And he said, Delmer, I'm not done. He said, Delmer, I'm done with Tyler. He's home, but I'm not done with you. the potter's wheel is a personal call to submission. And if there is any good in this clay vessel, it's of God, not of me. But that's what God does. My last point tonight. What shall the thing formed say? You will find this phrase in Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, verse 20 and 21. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Friends, tonight we are the formed. What are you going to say to the potter tonight? What are you going to say to the potter if he's saying, come into my house? What can you say to God? Well, I suppose you can say a couple different things. You know, this weekend of meetings, we are here. We are the house of Israel. And every time we come into this church service, it's going to take us to the potter's house. And it's going to take us to the potter's window, and we're going to see the work on the wheel. And what is the thing formed going to say to the potter? The question tonight is God calling you into his potter's house? Is there any carnality or selfishness, sins of the spirit, of the flesh, that God is saying, come, son, daughter, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, come into the potter's house. I said I won't ask trick questions. I won't. But I do have a question. And it's personal. What are you good at? What are you good at? Are you good at things that don't matter? I'm afraid, dear people, there's way too many of us sitting in our churches that get really good at things that don't matter. The potter wants to make you good at what counts. Brothers and sisters, tonight, two things you cannot choose. One is you are clay. Every person sitting in this building tonight, breathing oxygen, blood flowing through your veins, you are clay. We are the clay. You can't choose that. The second thing you cannot choose is you will be formed. You will be formed. You're clay, and you'll be formed. There's no choice to that. However, you get to choose who your potter is. That's what's beautiful. You get to choose who forms you. Obviously, the choices are two. It's either the devil or God. And I'll tell you tonight, friends, the devil is a fake. He is an absolute, total fake. He has never, ever made, formed one vessel of honor. Never. You know that, friends? He is a total disastrous failure. He has never, ever made one vessel of honor. Zero. Friend, tonight, will you choose to submit to the hand of God? God the potter never, never, ever, ever made, formed a vessel of dishonor. He is 100% honorable in his work, 100%. Have you chosen to live in the potter's house? You are clay. Are you in the potter's hands?